A 16-year-old wins the 2019 Fortnite World Cup. And more coming up on today's episode of Lays and Tech News. Hey, Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is Lays and Tech News. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, hit that subscribe button right now so that you don't miss out on the latest episodes. And, if you're watching the YouTube video of today's show, be sure to give us a like, but wait till you get to a part of the show that you actually like. And if you don't like a part of it, rather than thumbs down, just leave us a comment, let us know we could have missed something that you wanted to hear about, in which case we would be happy to include in, you know, for further studies or articles. So some people like hearing about Heroes of the Storm for some odd reason. If that's you, raise your hand right now. Apparently there's something new coming out there, but we won't be covering that article because none of you have expressed an interest. And seeing as how Blizzard has diverted most of its esports league away from Heroes of the Storm, and it seems to be slowly puttering itself out, maybe we won't talk about that today. But if you wanted to hear about it, you should probably let me know. Comment section down below. So we got a great lineup for today's show. Yes, the big weekend has come and gone. The 2019 Fortnite World Cup, the Pro-Am Charity Cup, the Duo Finals, the Final Finals with the Solos, all that has happened. The Season 10 trailer has dropped. We'll be getting into all that and more coming up with Fortnite news. We'll also be taking a look at Microsoft investing $1 billion in OpenAI's mission to build artificial general intelligence. We'll also be taking a look at, well, is this the end of the floppy disk in Linux? Learning more about that. Also, we'll be taking a look at Apple's waterfall screen, pushing the limit of the all-screen phones to the extreme. We'll also be taking a look at, well, your first look at League of Legends Pantheon rework that they have going on. We'll also be taking a look at gaming news. Doom 64 might finally get its release 22 years later. And finally, we'll be taking a look at a Halo Infinite trailer secret. I got a secret audio clip for you guys, so if you guys are interested in Halo Infinite, we got more news and details for you there. But before we can get to all of that, did you know, and I actually had to look this up to verify it for myself, there was at one time a World of Warcraft player that had 36 accounts on 11 computers running simultaneously. He raided by himself. Oh, that's 36 players, essentially. I wonder if he had his own guild and he like sent stuff in between himself. But 11 computers? That guy must have had like macro keys to the extreme. To some extent, this reminds me of the guy who, I don't know if it was in China, Taiwan, I think it might have been Taiwan or Japan, is going around with 12 screens open playing Pokemon Go. Yeah, he has a whole bike and with the screens. I covered that in like a past Did You Know segment in case you didn't know that. Actually, it might have been a news article in and of itself. We've covered a lot of stuff on this show. We cover a lot of stuff regularly. So, like I said, it pays to hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss out on, well, all the news that we have to share and crazy stuff that you might remember down the road, like, yeah, who is that Pokemon Go player? It's this older guy, he rides on a bike, and he has, like, multiple phones set up open to Pokemon Go all the time. Yeah, he essentially can raid gyms all by himself, do all the battles that he ever wants, he has all the people he ever needs, and himself. So, there you are. Let's head on over to the next segment in the show, Today in Tech History. Alright, today is July 29th, 2019. On this day in history, in 1914, the first test call is made on the newly completed transcontinental telephone line, taking place between New York and San Francisco. The last pole was erected and the line completed 2 days earlier on July 27th, but commercial service did not start until January 25th of the next year. The six-month delay was due to AT&T's wish to publicize the service in conjunction with the San Francisco's 1915 World Fair. And they probably just wanted to make sure stuff was working. But the first test call went through from New York to San Francisco and worked. What was said? How long it lasted? Who knows? Probably have to do more digging for that. And also, on this day, in 1996, Empath Interactive acquires Catapult Entertainment. In an example of the fast-growing internet software industry, Empath Interactive acquired Catapult Entertainment, Inc. in an effort to establish itself an online video game business. Neither company had been in business for more than a few years, nor had the online game industry in and of itself, which since then has taken off with the availability of software to network computers so users can compete against each other in video games across wide distances. And looking at the screenshot that I have here on my screen, you guys can't see it. I'm looking at it. It looks like Mplayer advertised you're able to play all these games against live components on the web. In 1996, you could play, here's a couple of the games, Command & Conquer, Deadlock, Havoc, SimCity 2000, Chaos Overlords, and Warcraft, Orcs and Humans. And yes, Warcraft was kind of the foundation for what would become World of Warcraft and Blizzard Entertainment down the road. So with that out of the way, let's head on over to today's feature story. Talking of feature stories, I still forgot to move myself over. You're watching a video right now. And I'm looking at myself on the screen going, I forgot to move myself over. I'll fix it. If I don't, just yell at me, please, in a comment section. It would be greatly appreciated. But Booga wins the Fortnite World Cup solo finals. Take a wild guess at how much money the 16-year-old won. $3 million. The largest payout ever paid out in esports history across all games, all years. Yeah. Also, in case you're wondering, the Duo Cup finals, Nirox and Aqua won that, and they're all pretty pumped. The trophy itself looked pretty neat. It was essentially the bus from Fortnite. So Fortnite player Kyle Booga Giersdorf won the World Cup solo finals. The 16-year-old North America East player finished with 59 points and takes home a prize of $3 million. The solo finals kicked off with a concert by DJ Marshmello, which drew fans into New York's Arthur Ashe Stadium hours before the 1 p.m. kickoff. Once the competition got underway, Booga's aggressive first game win, and I actually watched that game live, put him top in the standings. He continued to play strong, going into game 6 with a 15-point lead and 18 eliminations. The second place finisher was Salm, scoring 33 points and a nice prize of $1.8 million. NA West player Epic Whale scored 32 points and took home $1.2 million. Fourth place was Creel from NA East with a prize of, well, a little over $1 million. And you can see all the standings here. They do have a link to all of the standings. Actually, when I was watching the game, I got excited for two reasons. Number one, I saw Tfue, and I thought to myself, well, with all the whining that Tfue did practicing Fortnite and missing his flight, I knew he would make it out there. But would he be able to hold his own against some of the best from around the world? The answer, unfortunately, in Tfue's case, was no. I'm not even going to tell you where Tfue ranked up and all of that. The second reason was Reverse2K himself. Yes, the guy who plays with Ninja in the duos and quite regularly on and off during the week when Ninja was practicing, at least, made it to the Solo Cup finals as well. Unfortunately, Reverse2K did not make it into standings, but I enjoyed watching him. I think he got like a couple of times. He just got really bad luck. Even though he got really good landing spots, I think he just got outclassed and like pushed too quickly, and fell before he could accrue any meaningful amount of points to be able to take that. So yeah, in case you're wondering who the winners were by game, game one was won by Booga, who scored 9 eliminations and finished the round with a daring shockwave from low to high ground. I watched that. I was like, I know he's going for it. I know he's going for it. Everybody knew it. And sure enough, he got him right in the foot. Skite From Europe took game 2, NA East player Dubs won game 3, Psalm won game 4, ending an impressive streak by European player Mongrel, Creo won game 5, and game 6 was won by European player Crew. So, in case you're wondering, hey, I'm a teenager, can I still play Fortnite and qualify? Yeah, you actually have a really good chance. You have a better chance of making it and going pro as a teenager up until the age of about 24. Because by then, I don't know, I think you're like the old senile cells start kicking in, and then you have to start relying on hand-eye memory and coordination and stuff like that. So you guys are actually at a great advantage. Why do you think all the esports players from around the world in all the various different games are so young? It's because they're good. And not just good, like you look at them and you're like, dang, this guy, forget it, hands down, this guy is definitely outside of my league. And it's like, yo, I practice like 21 hours a day. And you're like, do you sleep ever? And they're like, yeah, I take a nap here and there. So congratulations, Booga. Excited to hear about your victory. $3 million, 59 points. Solid lead, solid wins. Congratulations to everybody else who came out, who played, enjoyed themselves. I know at least a couple of people who were in attendance at the stadium watching. There's actually one of my friends who was present there was excited when somebody won 50,000 US. They were so excited. The dad was excited for him. It was very tearjerker moment. If you're interested in that, I could always give you a link to that as well. But yeah, a lot of lives are changed. A lot of fun was had, and who knows, you could be next on a stage with enough practice. You just have to remember, you have to know exactly what the end goal is that you're looking for, and you have to know exactly what you need to be doing. Because if you're gonna watch the games themselves, you're like, this person's like a machine. I don't even think, right? You gotta work yourself up to that level, and you have to be determined and focused in your practice and know exactly what you're doing to improve. And always making steps to improve. You don't just get good overnight, as was shown by Tfue. I'll just leave it at that before Tfue haters come in and start yelling at me. If they do, it's fine. Tfue could have placed better if he had gotten on a plane instead of playing Fortnite. But I digress. I'm the dumb one. So with that out of the way, let's head on over. Let's head on over to the next story we got for you guys. And yes, that was just a Big Hero 6 throwback. Anyways, Microsoft is investing $1 billion in OpenAI's mission to build artificial general intelligence. So, since its inception in 2015, OpenAI has been chasing a lofty goal of developing artificial general intelligence for the benefit of everybody. But it turns out it doesn't come cheap. So now Microsoft will be pumping $1 billion into that effort. As smart as today's best AI is, it still doesn't have the kind of general intelligence humans are blessed with. Machines have reached superhuman performance in some specific tasks, but unlike us, they're not great at mastering multiple challenges or transferring their knowledge between different jobs. So, there's all this stuff going into all explain more of this article. So, if you're interested, I will have the link to this article in the show notes. You can read more about it, but yeah, it definitely seems like OpenAI has been undergoing some significant metamorphosis in the last couple of years. They're trying to figure out a way to like generalize all of it, make it easier for artificial intelligence to, you know, figure out what is going on, and being that it's open, hopefully this whole open source software type thing works a lot better. I mean, WordPress works out great, and it's open source. So the hope is the same here for OpenAI. Earlier this year, a for-profit arm was spun off to enable OpenAI to raise investment in its effort to keep up. Now the new deal with Microsoft seems to open a door to starting to commercialize some of the intellectual property they have built up, while ensuring a company has access to the huge computing resources required to do top-level AI research. So we're excited for that. And what comes of it? Well, we shall find out. Is this the end of the floppy disk ever? I know, you're probably sitting there thinking right now, what in the world is a floppy disk? Well, more than two decades ago, mind you, floppy disks were the popular medium for storing data and running operating systems on it. Yeah, the days when you were actually able to run an entire operating system off of a floppy disk drive. Well, there is still a computer that to this day allows you to use floppy disks. And that was the Linux operating system. Well, Linus Torvalds just decided to mark in a recent commit to the Linux kernel to mark floppy disk drivers as orphaned. Could this be the beginning of the end of floppy disks in Linux? The early Linux distributions were distributed using floppy disks, and I remember that quite well when I was trying to figure out which kind of operating system do I want. Do I want Linux or Red Hat or Ubuntu or Windows? A lot of choices to be made. Have you ever wondered why the save icons in many applications look like a floppy? Well, it's because it is a floppy disk. You see, floppy disks were popular for saving data, and hence many applications use it as save icons, and a tradition continues till this day. Now, well, let's see, the commit in the GitHub mirror, they have decided to drop the floppy disk drive without the correct hardware. Continuing the development won't be possible for it, and that's why I marked it as orphaned. The hardware that is still sold seems to be mainly US-based, which doesn't use this legacy driver at all, so it's kind of really no point of it. In the Linux kernel, what does orphan mean? It means that there are no developers able to or willing to support that part of code, which kind of, at that point, kind of means it's the beginning of the end, and since it's not going to be updated, eventually it's going to get depreciated and removed if no one else comes forward to step in and maintain and develop it. But it's not being removed immediately. See, it's still used by various virtual environment emulators. It won't be discarded straight away, but well, we'll find out. This could be the beginning of the end of an era forevermore. What about you? Have you ever used a floppy disk? Do you even know what one is? Post below in the comments before you never get the chance to again. So let's move on to the next story. All right, got some gadget news for you guys. Here's a smartphone screen that looks like it's straight out of a sci-fi movie. Look at this. This is the Apple Find X. Now, while everyone is eagerly awaiting the Samsung Galaxy Note 10, Apple's iPhone 11, and foldable phones like the Galaxy Fold and Mate X, Chinese companies continue to push the limits of smartphone design. Chinese tech giant Apple has unveiled its newest mobile innovation, a display that curves around the edges at such an extreme angle that you can't see any visible bezels. Dubbed the waterfall screen, the curved glass wraps around the left and right sides of the phone at an 88 degree angle and is even more aggressive than the curved screens on Samsung Galaxy phones and the OnePlus 7 Pro. And yes, we got photos to go along with it. So if you guys are interested in the article for, well, that we're talking about today, or any of the other articles that we've covered today, head on over to technewsgadget.net, and there you can actually get the link to all the articles, and I actually make it a little bit easier for you guys. If you're listening via the podcast, there are show notes right there for you. The article links are right in there. All you got to do is tap, and it'll load. So, man, you look at this. Here's what the new phone screen looks like in action. Let's see if there's a little bit of a video that goes along with it. Yes, I am playing a video. Look at that. You can't even tell. The screen is that. Oh, it looks great. Look at that. That is impressive. Good job, Oppo. Now, for those of you wondering, Oppo teased several images of the new screen tech, comparing it to the all-screen Find X it released last year. Now, if you're a sci-fi fan, you're probably geeking out like crazy at the sight of an all-glass slab with such narrow bezels. It looks impressive, but is it really practical? We've already seen phones with curved displays registering unintended touches and durability. Well, a curved display that's glass on the edges is completely unprotected if impacted. Obviously, if that means you drop it, it's going to crack. Then, there's also the top bezels. As many people on Twitter have pointed out, making the side bezels curve and virtually disappear into the phone's frame has been done before, but what about the top ones? It could be a little bit better there. So, one person pointed out, as long as I don't see those black bezels, I don't care, meaning at the top or up, left, and right. Now, the phone display is still a prototype, so Apple could improve on a design, or maybe it's all for show and the waterfall screen ends up only being proof of concept. We shall find out.
As for the phone, well, that's the tease that we have so far. And it doesn't look like they have much more about it in terms of release date. But if it is, hopefully we'll be hearing more news about it soon. All right, now on to some gaming news. I got four articles for you guys. I know this is like a little bit longer article day. There's a lot of stuff to cover, quite honestly. Fortnite Season 10 teasers point to the visitor at Dusty Depot. Season 10 is just around the corner. Next season of Epic's popular Battle Royale game officially kicks off on Thursday, August 1st. And as the developer traditionally does before each seasonal changeover, it has begun dropping a few teaser images, which seem to hint at some kind of time warp theme for the new season. I know a lot of you are interested in that. The first teaser, which you can see below, we have a photo of it, was shared ahead of the finals of the Fortnite World Cup. The tweet simply reads, "Think back," and features an image of Dusty Depot, which was famously destroyed by a giant meteor and became Dusty Divot all the way back in Season 4. For those of you who weren't keeping track, this seems to suggest the beloved area could be making a return in Season 10. Now, the second teaser image, which dropped today, features what appears to be some kind of new mech that's coming to the game. "Look forward," the tweet reads, which again hints at some kind of space-time disruption taking place in the new season. You can take a look at the second teaser image here on the screen. The one on the left matches a symbol adorned by the visitor, a skin back from Season 4. This subtle reference might suggest the skin or possibly the character making a comeback in some capacity? I don't know. Each seasonal changeover in Fortnite is typically preceded by some world-changing event, and earlier this month, a giant robot did battle with the monster that was formerly frozen beneath Polar Peak, and we saw the results of that battle. The mech was ultimately able to defeat the monster by impaling it with a giant sword hidden beneath Neo Tilted, but the vault in Loot Lake was damaged during the confrontation and is becoming increasingly unstable, which may be the catalyst for whatever time-related event leads to Season 10. With only a couple of days away, time is quickly running out to complete any Fortnite Season 9 challenges. What do you think will be coming in Season 10? Be sure to drop your thoughts, your ideas, predictions in the comments section. Love to hear what you guys might be looking forward to. I don't know. Are we looking forward to look back? Is it going to be a Back to the Future reference? And we're going to hear Marty as some, you know, white grizzled haired dude goes flying by in a DeLorean. We have no idea. No idea. Fortnite just leaves us hanging on the edge of our seats trying to figure out what's going on. Or lands us right in the middle of a mech monster battle, essentially like Pacific Rim style. And so obviously we try to build up platforms to see what's going on, and, you know, they just smash it down and fly right through. We shall see. We shall see. All right. So for those of you who play League of Legends, I'm one of the players. Pantheon, albeit one of the oldest characters that has been around like forever, is finally getting a rework. Been in the rework stages for a little while now. But for those of you who are interested, here's your first look at that rework. League of Legends developer Riot Games has just lifted the lid on its next champion rework. It, in line with hints dropped earlier this year, Pantheon is the next champion to undergo a full visual gameplay update. In a trailer shared earlier today, Riot took fans behind the scenes on the rework. Once known as the Artisan of War after the update, Pantheon will be known as the Unbreakable Spear. In the video, which there is a link in this article, the developers made clear that the champion's Spartan aesthetic will remain, but more could be done to give him his own personality. Pantheon's lore will be tweaked in line with his new update, while a skilled warrior named Atreus used to play host to the godlike Artisan of War. That god was eventually defeated by another champion, the demonic Aatrox, giving Atreus back control of his body. The mortal warrior has returned, but as the trailer shows, he's been scarred by his experiences. Riot devs say that Pantheon's old skills meant that many of his fights played out in the same way, but felt like they couldn't move too far away from the original concept. The video shows off some of his new skills, including a line skill shot version of his Q, a W that still allows players to leap to their target, and an E that looks like it might provide some increased defenses. All of the champion's abilities have been changed, but Riot says that his iconic ultimate is mostly the same. Renamed Grand Starfall, the ability now brings Pantheon in at an angle, seeing him streak across the map which should make it easier for skilled players to hit more enemies. So,
yeah, Pantheon, yeah!
Finally, dude's been needing a rework for like ever. Glad to see him finally getting the rework he needs. Alright, how many of you know of Doom 64? No? Well, that was a game that was promised 22 years ago. But, rumor has it, might be getting a release finally on the PC. The 24th annual QuakeCon event took place this weekend, completely overshadowed by Fortnite World Cup, obviously, including a version of the show in Europe for the first time, and it brought with it a lot of news about ID Software's upcoming Doom Eternal, including the introduction to a new demon called the Doom Hunter, and a lot of details about the game's multiplayer component, Battle Mode. Now, as such, there's a lot of Doom-related excitement at the moment, so PC-owning fans of the series may want to go back and replay the previous Doom games, but there's one Doom that's never been made legally available on the PC, Doom 64. However, it's looking possible that Doom 64 may at last appear on PC, only 22 years late. According to a review by Peggy, Doom 64 is on its way to PC and PS4, and if it happens, it will probably come out on Xbox One and Nintendo Switch 2. While the rating has since been deleted, it was spotted and tweeted by Gamatsu, and he currently likes to, he finds all this stuff. It's currently marked for a release date of July 26, which is presumably temporary. Doom 1, 2, and 3 were released on current-gen consoles on July 26 instead, so there is a possibility it's a mistake. However, the description given for the game is correct for Doom 64's story. Furthermore, it does not match the game's previous box art or advertising, but it does match a line from the game's manual, which is an obscure thing to dig up if this rating was a mistake or an oopsie. While Doom 64 released on Nintendo 64 in 1997 and has never been re-released anywhere else since, might be probably coming down to licensing issues as the game wasn't developed by ID Software. It was made and published by Midway. It's actually a completely original game with its own reimagined look, rather than just the port, and even features new demons. And with that being said, it's rated PEGI 16, but will we be seeing it sometime in 2019? One can speculate. Rumors, obviously, will abound until it's been officially confirmed and released and we're actually able to get our hands on it. Alright, now to our final article of today. How many of you like the Halo series? I know, I'm a fan of them. Well, you remember when you heard about that Halo Infinite trailer that dropped at E3 this year, and you watched it, and you're like, okay, it's kind of nice. If you haven't seen it, you can go ahead and go see it, and then come back and finish watching the video. Well, somebody did some really, they put some grunt work in, and they found a secret audio clip of a possible second Cortana. What? What? Two Cortanas? What? Well, did you know that Halo Infinite's Discover Hope trailer is ripe with tons of secrets that hint toward what the game's story will be about? Managed to find several of them back when the trailer first released during Microsoft's E3 2019. In case you missed it, there is a link in the show notes. But there has been a secret that nobody has found until now. Twitter user Zepyal, yeah, upon studying the trailer closely, realized that some of the, you know, the bright red flashing lights on Master Chief's visor that flashed as he awoke formed a, get this, functional QR code when combined into one image. Now, when you scan that QR code, which he did, he's got the link on Twitter, it takes you to this web page, which is linked as well in the article for today's show. And that audio, when you click on it, QR code it, it plays a 40-second long audio message of heavy footsteps, followed by the sound of someone interfacing with a terminal, and then the AI Cortana speaking the following lines of cryptic dialogue. Here's what Cortana says. This is part of me. I don't know why. I don't know how. But it is me. Huh. It's unclear what all of this is supposed to mean exactly, but this clip of audio does seem to imply that there's maybe a second Cortana, or at least a fragment of her that has split off and become its own separate entity? In addition to heavy footsteps and terminal interfacing sounds that play before Cortana shows up, kind of making you think of maybe Master Chief is present as she says this, which would mean she'd be talking to him then. One possibility is that the AI chip Chief was holding in the trailer contained another version of Cortana at one point, and that in this audio clip, he uses it to interface with the Cortana we know from Halo 5 Guardians at a terminal. Now, she may have detected the other Cortana's presence. It'll be interesting to see what Halo Infinite has in store for us in terms of narrative, and I'm sure you're probably looking forward to seeing what 343 Industries is hard at work creating. If you are interested, can't wait till Halo Infinite's holiday 2020 release date to get on in on some fun. Well, let us know down in the comment section. We're always interested in looking at the latest rumors and things that might be happening in the Halo universe. I seriously expected that, you know, something should. There's got to be more. There always was hints of something more. Who knew this was a QR code? Well, now people are going to be obviously back looking at the trailer, trying to figure out what in the world could still be going on that we haven't figured out, and what other Easter eggs or teasers have they dropped in that have yet to be explored. With that, well, that wraps up all the gaming news I got for you guys. And with that, that wraps up this episode. In addition to, you know, all the other articles I covered, thanks for tuning in, guys. New episodes every weekday. The latest in tech news can be found on every major platform, including Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and more. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to let us know by clicking that like button on the YouTube video and by leaving a comment. And if you're listening on the podcast, be sure to go out and leave us a review and let us know your thoughts on Twitter at TechNewsGadget. Also, double check that you are subscribed so that you don't miss the next episode. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, and remember, for the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, visit TechNewsGadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.